This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Howard. Sorry about the delay. I hope can hear me okay.
Perfect.
I just wanted to start with what I consider to be the quote of the day. And this came from the Iranian foreign minister yesterday. He was in an interview with Sky News. And he suggested to President Trump, in response to President Trump's suggestion that Palestinians might be housed in Jordan and Egypt, which is a conversation that we're still going to hold, hopefully in the near future, because I think the whole idea that he put out so publicly and so controversially is worthy of some discussion. But in response to that, the Iranian foreign minister suggested to President Trump that he should rather expel Israelis to Greenland. This way, he says, we'll kill two birds with one stone. I just wonder, the whole idea of Greenland, of course, has its own connotations, but the Iranians clearly jumping on that bandwagon. A few more hostage stories, if I may, and if the listeners are getting bored of hearing some of these hostage
I promise you they are not. There is no
then
chance.
Please say so. First of all, Naama yesterday sent out her first social media message since being released from captivity. Naama tells us in her message that she was held alone in tunnels for about 7 months.
Oh, my word. How do you not lose your mind?
And I just cannot imagine.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine how that was the case. She said, actually, during the first 50 days, which is 7 weeks, I was alone most of the time. But then she went on to say that for about 7 months, she was held in tunnels. And she just then came out saying, I want to thank the IDF soldiers and all the people of Israel. And here's the critical bit, right? Even in captivity, she says, I saw how you were fighting for me. And I think that the battle that has gone on so publicly and on TV and on the radio and being visible and going to the United Nations and visiting wherever, the families have visited every possible corner of the world to bring the story to everybody's attention. I think that has not only brought it to the attention of the world, but I think it's also had an incredible impact on the hostages themselves, because they've somehow managed to get some visibility of that. And I can't imagine how much strength they would have gathered.
So interesting, because that was always my worry.
On their behalf.
My worry was always that they had no idea how Israel, the Jewish world, friends of Israel and friends of the Jews were unified in just desperately wanting them home. And I was even thinking things like at our synagogue until very recently, they had little laminated cards with names. And before they said the prayer every Shabbat for the hostages, they would be handed out and everybody would take a name. And when the time came, you would pray for that particular hostage, that particular person. And it was incredible because it was personalized and you actually thought about that person at that time. And I was just wondering how much of this, obviously they know about now what's happened in Israel, but I wonder if they realize the impact that their plight has had on, certainly on our world, to the corners of the earth.
I think it's difficult for them really to appreciate it, and I'm so waiting for Naama to come home, because when she comes back to Ra'anana eventually, she will see posters and banners all over the city welcoming her home.
Just
naming
amazing.
Her, welcoming her home, of course, with the yellow ribbon. And I would just love to see how she responds to the fact that it's become such a public battle. And one of the greatest joys that I've had over the past few weeks is seeing the various places where the hostages are represented, whether it be their pictures at Ben Gurion Airport or whether it be their pictures elsewhere. In my local park, there are little stakes in the ground, a whole group of them, each stake with a picture of a hostage. And in another corner of the park, a whole lot of yellow chairs, one for each hostage. And slowly but surely, the stakes are being removed and the chairs are being packed away. And that's really the biggest joy that I've gathered from seeing this process. With Leary Elbug's release, one of the former hostages, Amit Susana, who was freed in the hostage deal in November, spoke about Leary. Amit Susana is 40 years old, and she is a civilian, was captured in Gaza, was held in Gaza. She says that the captors bound her hands and her legs together while one beat her with a stick and the other threatened her with a sharp metal object, demanding that she admit being in the military and claiming that they'd seen that on TV. This was the case of Amit Susana. And apparently, Leary Elbug came along during this whole process, and she somehow convinced the guards that Amit was not in the military and managed somehow to lessen the suffering that Amit was going through. Ultimately, she said that she had her legs tied with a metal chain and she was locked to a window with two locks, she says, like an animal. In the first 3 weeks of her captivity, she was like that alone. But she says that Leary literally saved her life, because if Leary hadn't managed to come and convince the guards that she wasn't in the military, that she might well have died that day that she was being beaten. And these stories of real heroism, of fighting, of not being willing just to accept their fate, coming especially from these young girls, is extremely inspiring. And I would encourage particularly the young people listening to really try and investigate a little bit more, as much as you can, to get the stories, to focus on one or two of the girls and get some of their stories, watch their social media feeds, start to understand some of the things that they're telling us about their time in captivity, the resistance, simply standing up and representing themselves, whether it be the work that Agama has done to observe Shabbat even while in captivity. These are tremendously inspiring stories and show some real fighting spirit, and I really encourage people to get involved. One last thing, and I can't avoid this because this is a big story about the $50 million that the US government apparently spent on sending condoms to Gaza. Apparently this was done just before the time of the outbreak of the war. And yesterday at the White House press conference, this matter was raised. I have to mention here the name of Caroline Leavitt. She is the new White House press secretary. You're going to watch her name. This is a 27-year-old with real fire in her belly. She is Trump's new press secretary. She's going to be a hero. So do watch her. She addressed this issue of the condoms that were sent to Gaza, $50 million all in all. I think the U.S. taxpayer does deserve to hear about what their tax money is being spent on. But there are two aspects of this which are worth raising. First of all, let's not forget the days of the balloons and the explosive devices that were sent over the Gaza border by balloons. We remember those. Well, apparently, many of those balloons were actually condoms that were pumped up and used to transport explosives to Israel. So, of course, the U.S., by sending these condoms, becomes complicit in some of those events that took place, setting fire to southern Israel and even causing injury and danger to civilians and households. But I just wonder whether the listeners might think that sending condoms to Gaza might be part of something that could be considered to be genocide if you're trying to limit the population growth.
Yeah.
You'll let me know.
Yeah. crazy world. Prime Minister Netanyahu has been invited to visit the White House. That's happening next week. What is the significance of this invitation?
I think it is significant because the letter, which has been sent out and widely publicized, says that the Prime Minister will be the first foreign leader to visit the White House during President Trump's second term in office. That's what the letter actually says, that he's, that the president is pleased to invite the Prime Minister to be the first foreign leader to visit the White House in his second term. And I think that there is some significance to that, particularly when we remember that towards the end of the first term, the relationship between President Trump and the Prime Minister wasn't exactly as warm as it had been during previous stages of that term in office. But it seems as if though right now they're starting off together in a way that is pretty well coordinated, or at least that's the impression that I get with this invitation. The invitation is for next week. The 4th of February is a date that's been mentioned as a possible date for the visit, which seems to have been quite hastily put together. Usually these things take many weeks and months to arrange. This one has been done literally from this week until next week, which is very, very unusual in international diplomacy. And it clearly indicates that there's an agenda item that needs to be discussed face-to-face relatively soon and relatively quickly. So all in all, I think that the signs are positive, at least for now. I'm not pretending to myself for a moment that everything that President Trump does in this term of office is going to be good for Israel. I know that there are many people out there who think that Trump is the best thing that's happened to Israel in a long time. And that may well turn out to be true because we are feeling the benefit of his support. And he did, for example, release some of the heavy bombs that the Biden administration had stopped sending to Israel in the last week. He mentioned that he'd allowed those to move forward and to be sent to Israel. And when he was asked why he's sent those bombs to Israel, he answered quite simply, because they bought them. That's what he said. and that was his answer to the question that was posed by the press. So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting meeting. We will not hear about a lot of what goes on, but I think the fact that this meeting is taking place so publicly and the president has released this letter saying you are the first foreign visitor to the White House, the first foreign leader to the White House in my second term, I think has a certain significance. And of course, we will be watching that with a great deal of interest.
We will indeed. Israeli forces yesterday opened fire against terror groups in Lebanon. Now, that's in spite of the passing of the 60 days that was set down for the withdrawal. So what is going on in Lebanon at the moment?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to say about Lebanon is that the truce is still holding. The truce is still holding in spite of the fact that the IDF troops remain in Lebanon beyond the 60 days where they were supposed to have cleared out completely. They were supposed to have withdrawn gradually over a period of 60 days. And after the 60 days were up, they were due to have withdrawn completely. I quite like that idea because I was afraid that we might get stuck in Lebanon. We've done that twice before with not good consequences. And I don't think that entrenching ourselves in Lebanon would be a very good idea. The problem is, and the conflict is, that as soon as we withdraw from Lebanon, it allows the vacuum to be refilled by Hezbollah operatives, terrorists, who perhaps re-entrench themselves again in that area south of the Litani River, which the truce says they shouldn't be present in. So the problem for the IDF and the way in which Israel is justified not withdrawing completely from Lebanon is the fact that the Lebanese side and Hezbollah in particular have transgressed their undertaking not to allow terrorists south of the Litani River along the border with Israel. And so the IDF have justified them staying there in order to police that area, because apparently the international force that is supposed to police that area is not doing a particularly good job. No surprises there. We've been in this movie before. So President Trump also got involved in this and has verified and authorized and agreed with the Israeli position, which says we are not withdrawing now, even though the 60 days have passed. And it's quite interesting because the new Hezbollah leader, Naim Qassem, stood up and made a 50-minute speech the day before yesterday, declaring victory and using every type of hyperbole that one might be come to expect from Hezbollah leaders. It was all probably one of his better addresses since he's taken over the leadership of Hezbollah And he declared victory over Israel and the fact that the Israelis are due to have cleared out of Lebanon. He did refer to the fact that they had not cleared out of Lebanon. And I would consider that from his perspective to be something of a failure. He did make all kinds of threats against Israeli forces again. But the reality is that even though Hezbollah are trying to retake that area along the Israeli border, they're not doing a particularly good job. They don't have any real force to oppose Israel staying there beyond the 60 days. And so Israel is pretty much there with some impunity, I would say, without really coming across too much opposition. Having said that, they are still destroying weapons storage facilities and tunnels, and they are still coming across opposition and fire. There was an attempt by some civilians to take over villages in the southern part of Lebanon, which the IDF opposed with live fire. So there is still a danger to IDF troops in Lebanon, and we will still be watching that. But for now, at least, the IDF are remaining in Lebanon until such time as they feel confident that that area is properly cleared out.
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, you can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.